J.C. Corcoran Podcast.
I live in New York in my office where people wear clothes because it's cold, while you're at a bar in Miami watching bimbos walk by in bikinis. I never look at other men because I have you, but you look at bimbos in bikinis. Do you have to? I don't like Miami. There's too much flesh out of control. When someone's boobs are in your face, how can you see their soul? And then it's like, lust is rampant, and all I see are bikinis and bimbos and MTV and Playboy and commercials on the streets everywhere. You'd have to be blind not to notice them. They're blind. Hey, if you were blind, our love could work. So I think I'll just get a knife and stab your eyes out. But I don't want you to be blind, because then you couldn't see me. So I guess I'll have to just go to a gym and work out real hard and buy a bikini. I'll buy a bikini.
My goodness gracious.
No, I'm just getting warmed up.
Happy to see you again.
Don't be nervous, don't be rocky. You're a teenage guest is jockey now.
And let me begin by wishing you a beautiful look.
Did that voice inside you say, I've heard it all before? It's like deja vu all over.
Monday, April 18th, 2022. 213 days remaining in our American democratic system of government as we have known it. How you doing, kids? You've got JC here at jcontheline.com, and it is tax day.
Will you look at those morons? I paid my taxes over a year ago.
Dad.
What is it, sweetie?
That was last year's taxes. You have to pay again this year.
No, because you see, I went ahead and year-wise, I was counting forward from the last previous. So!
Yeah, there are some people who are mystified as to why I wait till the very end, the last day, to do my taxes, and it's very simple. The money is mine, and that's how you should feel, too. It's your money. It's your money. Nobody else needs it, including the government, any earlier than need be. So if the deadline is the 18th of April, as it is this year, that's when they get it. You know, I'm fighting a losing battle here, but it makes me feel better that at least I'm holding on to what is mine, because I always end up having to pay. I never get a refund. When you are self-employed, and if you are, you know this, you got to be really careful to, you know, pull out enough money throughout the course of the year, and I never do, so I end up owing at the end of the year. So if one of those hackers would like to come along and steal my return and assume my identity and pay off a couple of $1,000s that I owe the government, please go right ahead. I know how you guys like to do that. Hey, we'll steal Corcoran's identity. It'll be good. What? And it's also dumb. It's lopsided in the wrong direction. You would think that the government would say, all right, for the people who work for the IRS, let's go after these fat cats who are always plugging in stupid deductions, and if we just nail them on it, well, that's our job. Well, it turns out it's exact opposite. We found out, and they reported this a couple of weeks ago, the IRS is more likely to go after a guy making $28,500. It's a backwards, messed up, screwed up system that that doesn't make any sense to go after the little guy. You'd reap more bent now. Never mind. The idea that we have to spend so much time. Americans, on average, spend about 13 hours and about $240 completing their personal taxes. As of 2 weeks ago, only 71% of people had filed. Yes! See, that makes me feel better. 90% of tax returns are filed electronically these days, and 57% of people prepared and e-filed their own tax returns. Over the past 20 years, there have been an average of 420 annual changes to the tax code. There are 4 million words in the tax code, which is twice the amount of all 5 Game of Thrones books combined. Well, when you let the fat cat millionaires and billionaires, oh, I'm sorry, the job creators, when you, Karl Rove's invention there. But when you let the job creators write the tax codes, anyhow, about 6% of people in this country procrastinate until the night before the taxes are due, and 2% file for an extension the day they're due. That could be you at this point if you haven't filed yet. If you get a refund, what do you do with the money? Well, in one poll, 27% of Americans use it to pay off debt, 24% save it, 13% treat themselves to something nice, 11% use it to buy everyday necessities, 10% use it to cover a big purchase they really need, like car repair. Ever since I got to St. Louis like 38 years ago, there's a Clayton accounting firm that has done my stuff, and they have a huge party the day after the taxes are due. I mean, they party it up hard. One year, they asked me to come out and, I guess you would say, entertain. I was tipped off by somebody who was familiar with those parties that it might not be the best place to be. That the sort of like when I worked at KIDS, they had a yearly Christmas party, usually at one of the big restaurants somewhere in Soulard. And it was during the days that I had an unusual custody arrangement with my ex-wife, where I would pick my daughters up from school every day instead of that usual thing where you alternate weekends and stuff like that. So I'd pick them up every day. I wouldn't get to keep them all the time. But for some reason, it always worked out that the radio station Christmas party, and again, there were six stations involved. It was K-Hits, K-She, The Point, one of the conservative talk stations, and I forget what the sixth one was. But anyhow, I would end up getting there. The party would start about 4 o'clock in the afternoon. But I was not able to get there usually until about 8:30. And I'd walk in there, and it would look like, do you ever see what was left over in an airport where hundreds of thousands of people had their flights canceled and had to sleep on the floor, and there was trash all over the place, and it just looked like a bomb had gone off? And that's what the Christmas... So the radio station Christmas party used to look like every year by 8:30 when I would come cruising in. There was one woman who worked in the sales department who was known for every year, shall we say, working over the male interns. So you get this, you know, tall, thin boy of, you know, 20, 21, 22 years old. And she at the Christmas party would introduce him to the big time. Let's put it that way. We started the show with Victoria Jackson from Saturday Night Live doing her little song about the bikini thing. And it still isn't safe out there as far as the weather is concerned. We got a frost warning coming up. And if you are planning to travel to the Northeast over the course of the next couple of days, you might want to rethink that too. A massive nor'easter. Apparently, like central and upstate New York, they could end up with a foot or more of snow. And that's going to be Washington, New York, Boston, all those places. And we got to deal with the frost. Speaking of Victoria Jackson, Saturday Night Live. Pretty good show over the weekend hosted by Lizzo. She is much more talented than I ever would have guessed. And again, no Pete Davidson. You know, if you watch the tabloids and the entertainment stuff, you know, he's been boinking Kim Kardashian, but he's also been getting threatened by Kanye. And there's at least some speculation that maybe Pete Davidson has been told to lie low or something. All I know is he hasn't been on the show in a couple of weeks. Hey, tapping that ass will wear you out, you know? Cardinals broke our hearts yesterday. I know there's people jumping all over me already because I said from the beginning that I didn't like this idea of bringing Albert Pujols back. I still don't. I think when it's all said and done at the end of the season, the whole thing's going to end up being a wash or worse. But he sure launched one yesterday. It came down to the Cardinals' final strike, and Nolan Arenado almost did it. He almost sent it into extra innings. But the Cardinals will not have to worry about frost for the next couple of days, as it is off to Miami, Florida. Well, this is crazy. 33 in the city, chillier than that in the outlying areas across the Midwest tonight. And by the way, the wind is going to be kicking up to more than 20 miles an hour, but that low right around the freezing mark. And then they're sort of waffling after that as to whether or not St. Louis is or is not going to be in the bullseye on I think they moved it to Wednesday now, over to Wednesday for the possibility of severe weather again. And with what went on last week, you know what's going to happen and what people are going to say. And unfortunately, that's when some people get hurt. What a great episode of 60 Minutes last night. If you can get it on demand, if you missed it yesterday, and a lot of people were busy with the whole Easter stuff, boy, get a hold of that show. They had three terrific segments. One on the Russians and cybersecurity and the feeling that if the experts know what they're talking about, Russia could really mess with our power grid and stuff like that. But then the representative from the United States said, yeah, well, we could shut down their internet for a couple of hours just to let them know we can do it. And it's like, oh, sure. We've talked about this before. I used to laugh at survivalists. I don't laugh anymore. Now, if you have a doomsday obsession and you have hundreds of thousands of dollars of survival stuff in your house, yeah, then you're weird. But you got some MREs, meals ready to eat, and, you know, cans of water, bottles of water, stuff like that. I don't laugh at that. And after watching 60 Minutes last night, I might go out and get some more water. Let's put it that way. They had a great story about Volkswagen last night. And then also, we learned about Joby. Joby, the closest thing to the Jetsons as I could think. In fact, well, here's a little clip from 60 Minutes yesterday. And Joby, this is a thing that you get into, and the next thing you know, you're flying.
There'll be passengers, but no pilot on board. You're not just figuring out an electric vehicle. You're figuring out a fully autonomous flying vehicle.
That's right. We're going for it.
You and I talked about that.
CEO Gary Gysin says they're on track to spend about $2 billion. The company is bankrolled by Boeing and Google co-founder Larry Page. They've been testing the technology for the last 8 years.
Control Zep, in position for liftoff.
So how many test flights have you actually done?
So close to 1,600 test flights without, you know, knock on wood, without an incident.
Selecting liftoff now.
We watched one of those test flights in Hollister, California. A team of engineers about half a mile away started the VTOL with the click of a mouse. The entire route was pre-programmed.
Why autonomous? Yeah. Why go this route?
So we're going straight to self-flying. Several reasons. One, it's safer.
Safer, he says, because most plane accidents involve human error. Much of commercial aviation is already automated, and Gysin sees the entire eVTOL industry going that way eventually.
You ought to see this thing. You ought to see this thing. If you were watching 60 Minutes last night, you know exactly what I'm talking about. But here's the thing that I want to make sure you hear.
Billionaire Paul Sciarra, co-founder of the website Pinterest, has also put in a small fortune. He's Joby's executive chairman and says they'll launch in up to 3 cities. And that passengers will eventually end up paying around $3 to $4 a mile to fly, a little more than an average Uber ride.
Can you just take me through, as a passenger, what it looks like? I want to get to JFK Airport. It's bumper-to-bumper traffic. What do I do?
Take out your phone, pull out an app, and with one click, you're booking the whole trip. So a car is coming to wherever you are in Manhattan. It's taking you to the takeoff and landing location, the vertiport. And you're hopping in your Joby, and it's flying you to your final destination.
Yeah, final destination. And by the way, they say that this service is expected to be available by 2024. It's only 2 years away. And instead of calling an Uber, you'll call this guy and you'll fly there. And this isn't some pie in the sky thing, somebody's pipe dream. You are left, absolutely left, with the impression that they definitely will have this ready in 2 years. The question is, would you get into one? All I can think about is all the safety issues, like power lines, which I'm sure the computers can figure out, you know, crashing into one another. And again, it's one of those deals where, okay, let's say they launch this thing in 2 years. Everything's going great. Eventually, one crashes. The government steps in, says we have to ground all of these things, and there goes the entire business and everybody's money with it. Maybe. Maybe not. Oh, and flipping back to Saturday Night Live again for just a minute. This duo of Michael Che and Colin Jost, they're just absolutely at the top of their game. Clearly the best Weekend Update team ever. And I used to really like Tina Fey and Amy Poehler and even Jimmy Fallon, who I'm not usually very crazy about, but I thought he did a nice job on Weekend Update. But these two guys, Jost and Che are just hitting it out of the park almost every week.
Mental health experts are now recommending that children start being screened for anxiety when they are 8 years old, because it can be pretty stressful down at that old iPhone factory.
A Brazilian man, here we go, sorry, transition. A Brazilian man had to undergo emergency surgery after he got a 4-pound dumbbell stuck in his anus. He then shoved it back up there and said, two. Anyway, that's why you always wipe down the equipment.
Elon Musk offered to buy Twitter for over $40 billion so he can loosen its free speech rules. That's how badly white guys want to use the N-word.
Two Barbie dolls were launched into space for the first time ever aboard the International Space Station. Finally, they're gone, said two Ken dolls.
Pretty good stuff with Che and Jost. The question is, where the hell is Pete Davidson? Late last night, I ended up watching the final hour or so of the movie Almost Famous. Came out in the year 2000. You know the movie. This is a Cameron Crowe. Having been around in the 1970s, and the movie is set in 1973, it really does depict the era frighteningly well.
Is there anything in the movie Almost Famous that you can trace back to something that happened to Hart?
Yeah, the scene in the airplane when they think that they're going to crash.
Seriously?
Yeah. We were on a flight in our private plane, and Cameron was with us, and we were used to turbulence, but that was severe turbulence, and everybody was really shaken up by it. Cameron was with us, and he was just white. He was just so scared. And everybody started going, I really love you, man. I just love you. As if they're saying their last statements, you know. And then, of course, we land and everything's fine. So, yeah, he took that scene and kind of embellished on it.
But it had been a while since I'd watched that movie. And again, I only picked up the last hour or so. But if that isn't the sweetest movie, God. Oh, one other big news story. This was, what, maybe a month or so ago? I remember looking at it and, as I was reading it on the podcast, I was sort of backing away from it because I was like, this is stupid. There's no way that this is right. And you remember the story. Even one drink of alcohol a day shrinks your brain, according to some sort of study that they had done. It was 3,700 people. That's a big sample. That's a very big sample. And so one of the news stations over the weekend figured, let's go back and take another look at this because we don't think it sounds right either. So they re-examined it, and it turned out the actual doctor himself, the guy who was conducting the research on something else, by the way, he wasn't even studying whether or not alcohol had an effect on the brain. It was just something that supposedly came out as part of the study that they were doing about something else. And the doctor's like, no, that's not true. That's a completely bizarre and twisted summary of what our report said. So don't worry about that anymore. Your brain is not shrinking, at least not for that reason. Speaking of part of your brain going away, Jack in the Box selling a shake called Pineapple Express for a limited time. But Seth Rogen says it has nothing to do with this movie or the same name. He said, if we did a tie-in, it would have been to promote those bizarre fucking diarrhea-inducing taco things they sell. End quote. The Who was on Colbert on Friday night. And The Who, at this point, you know, a bunch of band members. And then Pete Townsend and Roger Daltrey. So one half of the original Who. Roger's 78 right now. And, of course, the line from My Generation, Hope I Die Before I Get Old. He doesn't think he's old. He's 78. He said, it's a state of mind. You can't measure age in years. You can't measure a lifetime in years. A life is a life. Go ahead and try to argue with that. And life is catching up with everybody, and I hate to do it this way, but it is true. This is a sobering reminder of the fact that none of us are getting any younger. Here's a list of people you know that are at least 60 years old. Ralph Macchio, Michael J. Fox, Julia Louis-Dreyfus is 61, Jim Carrey is 60, Matthew Broderick is 60. Sheryl Crow, MC Hammer, John Bon Jovi, Angela Bassett is 63, Julianne Moore 61, and turning 60 this year, Tom Cruise, Demi Moore, Jodie Foster, Ally Sheedy, and Emilio Estevez. More Metrolink problems. More Metrolink problems.
There have been other fatal acts of violence on the Metrolink system. Back in January of last year, a Metro security guard was shot and killed while working at the Delmar Loop station. And in March of 2019, an 18-year-old was shot and killed at the 5th and Missouri station in East St. Louis. Talby Roach, Bi-State's president and CEO, calling this latest incident a disappointing random act of violence. He said in the statement, "This level of gun violence is shocking, and we are often frustrated on how to prevent some such random acts in our community." The statement going on to say, "Metro Transit has made many improvements to safety and security over the last 2.5 years, and we will continue
to invest in
security and strong police partnerships now and in the future."
That's Chris Renee, Fox 2 Live right there. Well, this time it was the DeBolivar station, and this one hit close to home because that's what I used to do. I lived in Olivet, and I would drive over to the DeBolivar station for ball games. And this was night games. It was day games. It was all the time. And I would park in the DeBolivar lot right there, and there was a lot of construction going on, so you didn't have a direct route. You had to walk all the way around the construction. And after you parked your car, you would walk that distance and then wait on the platform there, and the train would take you right down, let you out next to the ballpark. And the people I was riding the train with were generally minorities. Most, a good number of them, got off where I did because they were working at the ballpark that day. I'm not afraid of black people. a lot of people out there in West County around living with me, you got to be nuts. You got to be nuts. And then my lawyer's car got broken into. I had another friend who got his car broken into sitting there in the DeBolivar lot, no security at all. So then I got freaked about that. And so then I started doing it, but I made sure I took everything out of the car that could possibly be of any value. So the worst thing that would happen, maybe I have a busted window. And then you're like, well, maybe I should try somewhere else. And then every time you'd pick some other destination to park your car and take Metrolink in, there would be a story like this about somebody who was assaulted or somebody who was shot or somebody that whose day got ruined in one way or another with regard to Metrolink. And it's a shame. But as I said from the very beginning of Metrolink, when they first installed it back in the early 90s, mid-90s, that thing should have run from Busch Stadium all the way out to Chesterfield Mall. That would have been safer, too, on a lot of levels, because I'm telling you this, the cops will set up speed traps, and they will also, like on St. Patrick's Day or something like that, put out those outposts where you're driving along, and then all of a sudden you see the traffic slowing down and flashing lights, and the cops are checking car by car before you can pass through. I'm not a fan of speed traps. I'm really not. But everybody knows it. Everybody knows it deep down inside. I'm not saying anything that's not true. If the cops wanted to, if they wanted to, they could set up anywhere on the perimeter of Busch Stadium on a game day or game night, and half the cars they stopped would have somebody driving who was over the legal limit. And you can tell, by the way, especially those first few miles coming out of Busch Stadium, people hop on Highway 40 going west, heading for West County, and they're going like 80, 90 miles an hour and changing lanes like they're nuts. And that's when the Cardinals lose the game. You got to see the way they drive when the Cardinals win. I've told this story before, the 2011 World Series. I was in a parking garage, and I got rear-ended. We weren't even moving. It was after Game 7, and it was pretty late after the game because I was down on the field, got my picture taken standing on the pitcher's mound. I scooped up some seeds and some dirt and stuff like that, which I still have in my little display case here. Wanted some sort of a souvenir that not everybody else could get their hands on, and so I got the seeds and I got the clay. And I'm sitting there in one of those multi-level parking garages. It was just the one that's sort of behind Hooters. And I'm sitting up there, and all of a sudden I feel my car just get rocked. And there's four guys who get out of an SUV behind me. They're all huge. They look like a bunch of middle linebackers from a football team. They all got out of the car. You know, they were drunk off their asses. They destroyed my bumper. And it turned out they were all Illinois State cops. None of them were on duty, but they were state cops. Like, here's my card. Let's just take care of this without involving the police. And that's what they did. I went and got the estimate, and I told them how much. I sent them the bill, and they gave me the money. It's pretty bad when even the cops are drunk. Here's my card. Let's not involve the police. You are the police! All right, sixth season premiere of Better Call Saul tonight, 8 o'clock on AMC. Late Night Jimmy Fallon's got Sam Rockwell. What an actor that guy is. Kaley Cuoco on with Jimmy Kimmel. Colbert's got Julia Roberts and Wilco. Camila Cabello on with James Corden, and Seth Meyers has Jordan Klepper, who I just adore. I think the guy's brilliant. He's amazing. Benedict Cumberbatch going to host Saturday Night Live on May 7th, Arcade Fire. Going to be the musical guest. I love that song, Everything Now. Birthdays today, America Ferrera, Ugly Betty is 38. Kourtney Kardashian, Ugly Kourtney, is 43, the one without all the plastic surgery. Melissa Joan Hart, Sabrina the Teenager, 46. Conan O'Brien, 59. Eric McCormick from Will and Grace, 59. Rick Moranis, Ghostbusters, Spaceball, Honey, I Shrunk the Kids, Little Shop of Horrors, Parenthood, and Barney Rubble in the Flintstones, 69 today. James Woods, great actor, a real psycho, 75. And Haley Mills, Let's Get Together, 76. The 1906 San Francisco earthquake struck at 5:13 a.m. 116 years ago today in 1906. 700 dead, 250,000 left homeless. Again, this is 1906. Albert Einstein died on this date 67 years ago in 1955. He was 76. And by the way, here we go again with this pronunciation stuff. I don't know what I'm going to do. Alex Haley won the Pulitzer Prize for Roots. We've got Dan McLaughlin. Love Danny. He's a good guy. He's stepped on his dick a couple of times, but he's a good guy. But he and Bill Maher, neither one of them can say Pulitzer. Either comes out Pulitzer or Pulitzer, which is wrong. All this fascinating because Danny Mac, Mike Claiborne, a couple of other people at KMOX and people involved in the Cardinal broadcasts cannot say Purina. It's pure, like pure. Pure as the driven snow. But they're all saying Purina, which is wrong. Nobody says anything to them about it. If it were me, if I were running Bally Sports, at the end of the game, I'd go into the booth and say, oh, by the way, nice job tonight. You really called a great game. But by the way, it's Pulitzer and it's Purina. Stop saying those things wrong. But look, they didn't do it for the last 60 years with Mike Shannon either. Every year he used to go to the 13 Carnival that was on the campus of Washington University. And they started doing that years and years and years ago, quite the tradition. And it's, you know, a carnival midway type thing. They would raise money for, I don't know if it was the Greek Road type stuff or it was the whole school. I don't remember. I didn't really care. All I know is I had little kids. And you go to a carnival and you put them on the tilt-a-whirl and everybody goes away happy. But they also, I don't know why I wrote this down, but I did on my calendar back in 1998. And I'm looking at it right now. 13 Carnival, dead fish. Because, again, it's one of those things where you get a little guppy. You know, you throw something at something and knocks it down. Like, okay, congratulations, here's your fish. And that fish was dead by the time we got home. What a racket that is. One of the PETA people get involved in that. And I'm not picking on the 13 Carnival or a WashU. It's like all of those carnivals do that. If you go to one of those carnivals and you spend your money on games of skill, you pretty much deserve whatever happens to you anyhow. And I'm going to let you in on a little secret here. I'm lifting the curtain so that you guys can all have a nice look at this. When you work at a radio station, and it's not so true anymore because everybody just texts now, and go ahead, try to call a radio station, try to get a live body. That's almost impossible. But back in the day before computers took over everything and everything went digital and radio stations got gobbled up by big corporations and they stopped giving a shit about anything you said or did or thought. Back in the day when you would say, hey, give me a call, 399-ROCK, 499-ROLL, call me right now. You'd say, can you play some Led Zeppelin? It's like, Led Zeppelin's on the air right now. Aren't you listening? Oh, but invariably, you'd get a nice female voice on the phone. Hi, I was just wondering if you could play Undercover Angel by Ellen O'Day. And you're sitting there, maybe it's, you know, 9, 10 o'clock at night, and you're like, hello, baby. And everybody did it. Everybody. Didn't matter if you were married or not. But on rare occasion, and I mean really rare, like once every 2 years. Well, at least it was for me. I knew guys who they didn't matter what they were boinking. I have a little higher standard, always have, but you would arrange a meeting because the voice just sounded so good. And without exception, the voice, let's just say, didn't match up to the actual visual. I know that might sound really, really mean, but that's the way it was. But then there was always the exception to the rule. I remember I was working at a radio station in Chicago, and it was late at night, and she said, "Here's where I live. Come on by." So it's like a hot summer Chicago night. It's like 2:30 in the morning. I work 10 to 2 at night on this radio station, The Loop, in Chicago, and I go driving up to her apartment in, well, it's on the north side of Chicago, and I pull up, and I swear to God, she looked like a Playboy centerfold. And she was wearing a skimpy little outfit and in full makeup at 2:30 in the morning, and she looked sensational. Well, on this date, what was the year? Yeah, in the year 2000. This, I'm doing a live show in the afternoon for one of the radio stations. I think it was Clue at the time, KLOU. And I was doing a remote in the afternoon from one of the casinos up in St. Charles, I think it was. And a car pulls up. I'm outside in front of the place with the van and everything. And a car pulls up. And I will only tell you that my colleagues at the radio station, Karen Kelly, Brian McKenna, often referred to her as Jessica Rabbit. That's what she looked like. And she was there to pick me up. And I think that's the only two times where the outcome on something like that was desirable. That was the girl, by the way, who was mystified by me and I think intrigued to the point where she kept coming around because she told me that I was the first man in her life ever that after 2 or 3 weeks didn't want to marry her. Every other guy after like 2 weeks, and I can understand it too just by looking at her. And by the way, she was smart and she was funny and she was a nice person. But I, you know, you think to yourself, is this what I want? Is this the kind of woman I want where everywhere I go, she's going to walk in the room and it's going to bong, you know, and the fish in the aquarium stop swimming. One of those cases where you got to be careful what you wish for. And I'll just sort of leave it at that. But it was on this date 22 years ago. How you doing, Deanna? Ah, she's in Texas now, being a married woman. And finally, one more birthday. Bill Belichick turned 70 on Saturday. Friends and family gathered to mumble him happy birthday. And with that, that's it for the J.C. Corcoran Podcast, Monday, April 18th, 2022. 213 days remaining in our American democratic system as we have known it. You may email me, JC at jcontheline.com, Facebook, the Showgram with J.C. Corcoran. Everything is archived right here, and we'll talk to you again tomorrow morning at roughly 7 o'clock. I'm late today. I apologize. In the meantime, we've beaten this one to death. Have a good one. See you later. Bye.
The J.C. Corcoran Podcast.